You can open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke again. We'll continue in our study there. Looking for a title for today, I decided to just use the word of, O-F. Hopefully by the time we're finished, you'll understand why. No guarantees, but hopefully. But this morning, we're going to continue in our study, believe it or not, and it landed just right for Father's Day. We're going to read Luke's genealogy of Jesus. And I'm going to try to make it through all these names. So you can follow along in Luke 3, verse 23 and following to the end of the chapter. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matthat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janna, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathiah, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Isli, the son of Nagai, the son of Mas, the son of Mattathiah, the son of Shimei, the son of Joseph, the son of Judah, the son of Joannes, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmodam, the son of Ur, the son of Josi, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Matthat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonan, the son of Eliakim, the son of Melea, the son of Menan, the son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Let's pray, please. Our Father, we come this morning because of you, to worship you. You are our God, and you are our Father, as Jesus told Mary there outside of the grave on resurrection morning. Father, we come to hear from you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe and minds to understand your word to us today, that we will be enriched by it, and being blessed, we will become a blessing to those around us. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is Father's Day, and this genealogy has a whole lot of in it. And we all would have to acknowledge that in some way, sometimes in good and sometimes in not so good, we are of our Father. And that's a good thing, and sometimes it's not such a good thing. But I will say this, that as the song said, when he was raising his own son, and he had to realize how much he was like his own father's son, it's not always easy having the children who are of us. Kind of like a little story I heard or read. It says a preacher's young daughter noticed her father always bowed his head and closed his eyes for a few seconds before he went to the pulpit to preach. After the service one day, there at the lunch at the table, she asked him, she said, Dad, why do you do that? Why do you close your eyes for a few seconds before you go to the pulpit to preach? He explained, I'm asking God to help me preach a good sermon. He thought this is a great teaching moment. His daughter thought about it for a minute and said, well, Daddy, why doesn't he? That of goes two ways, doesn't it? We are of our parents. Luke, like Matthew, gives us this a genealogy of Christ. Interestingly, though, there's some difference in that genealogy. And as I've studied, the way that seems to most or to best explain that the differences between Luke's genealogy and Matthew's genealogy is because Luke, if you read the Gospel of Luke compared to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel is a Jewish Gospel, a very Jewish Gospel. Matthew was a Jew. Luke was not. Luke was a Gentile, actually a Gentile doctor who came to Christ, who trusted in Christ very early on in the revelation of Jesus in his ministry. And that's how he starts this book, this letter that we're studying, as being a follower of Christ from the beginning of Christ's revelation and ministry. But Luke focuses especially and does a much more extensive job to include women into and their relationship with Christ and their part in the gospel story than Matthew does. And so, primarily, as I understand it, and it is acceptable to me, since Luke says, as was supposed the son of Joseph, and of course we automatically would say, well, yeah, he wasn't Joseph's son because God was his father and he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But many of the commentators in explaining these differences say he makes that statement because he is obviously not genetically the son of Joseph. He's the son of God, but he's born through Mary. So they believe that Joseph, or that Luke gives Jesus' genealogy through Mary. And so that they both end up, of course, with Abraham and with the line, as was prophesied, that Christ would come through, and of course finally end up at Adam and then at God. But I thought it was interesting to gain that insight on why, when you read Luke's genealogy and Matthew's, they're a little different. And that encouraged me. But the point is, it's of, that word of, and all the way through this. And if you go back and study these names and the ones that are actually mentioned and highlighted in the Old Testament, as I said, some were good, some accomplished some good things, some were not so good, but none of them were perfect. So we are of our Father. But what I want to focus on this morning actually is in the verses before what we read and how they lead into these verses in the genealogy of Jesus. Last week we looked at verse 21 and 22 of Luke chapter 3, where Christ came to John after all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, it says the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father's voice and the Spirit's confirmation, his coming upon Christ, confirming the Father's declaration of his affection and of his affirmation of Christ, is what precipitated, what brought about Christ's action. It's what brought about Jesus entering into what he came to do. We're told that he's about 30 years of age. So for 30 years he's lived like most other men in his region of the world, and he's had an occupation. He learned a skill, a trade, and he's taken care of his mother. Apparently Joseph had died somewhere through those years, and he's had a part in taking care of his brothers and sisters, Mary's other children that her and Joseph had after Christ. But he's not done his ministry. He's not entered into what he came to do. He's not entered into why he became a man, why he became a human. But now that his Father has spoken and the Holy Spirit has confirmed that declaration, Jesus steps out into his ministry. It's time. Verse 23, if you want to underline a word, you can underline now. Because I believe that now builds directly on what precedes there. The Father's voice from heaven, an open heaven, as Christ was praying, having come up out of the water of baptism, and the Holy Spirit come upon him. And the Father's affection communicated to him. He says, "This is my beloved Son." He makes it clear that there is this loving relationship, this forever love, as the song said, forever and ever, amen. This love that is there because there is that relationship of Father and Son. He says, my beloved, this acceptance that gives identity. Christ knew who he was, and he knew that he was who he is in the acceptance of his Father. And in that assurance, that other word that the Father said, "In whom I am well pleased," he received the Father's affirmation. He knew he had his Father's love, and he knew he had his Father's approval. And there in that place, now it was time, and Jesus himself. And it's those things, it's that love and that affirmation that gives to children and to young people the strength and the ability and the grace to finally themselves step out into what they are called to do. And that's what Jesus did. It gave him the Father's love, and the Father's approval gave him permission and the power of confidence and the cooperation, the assurance of the Father's resources and power through the Holy Spirit for Jesus to do and accomplish. He was not on his own. And in a very real way, that of carries on. Especially this that we see here between the Father and the Son, that empowering carried on through all that Christ did. Jesus always understood that he was not on his own. He was never alone. It didn't just depend on him. He had his Father's presence, his Father's love, his Father's approval. And because of that, he himself began. He began his ministry. He began into what he was called to do. Fathers, parents, and even grandparents do have a major impact on their children for good, in affection and love and affirmation and encouragement. And yet, there can be negative influences also in our weakness and our brokenness as sinners. So sons and daughters bear their own responsibility too. There comes a place and a time where we understand that every one of us make our own decisions. And Jesus did that. He made a decision to follow his Father's will. And he made those choices, and he bore the responsibility for them, and we must allow our children's children to do the same. As Christ did and the Father did. He allowed him to fulfill the Father's will all the way to the cross. That of was powerful. powerful indeed. The father and son relationship that initiates is not an aside. This relationship between God the Father and his Jesus his Son that is so profoundly evidenced here in this passage and at the Jordan where he is baptized, and all of this takes place, and Luke gives us this genealogy that clearly makes this connection between Jesus, God the Son, and God the Father, is what this is all about. It is what the gospel's about. It is what we are about. It is what creation is about. It's not just a beginning. It's the foundation and crux of all of Christ's ministry. It's to reveal God's heart, his desire, and the consummation of creation, that he, the Creator, Almighty God, the King, wills to be our Father, our Abba, our Daddy. That's the heart of God before he ever spoke the first thing into existence beyond the Trinity. And we are his children, and all we do and accomplish and pursue is founded on and flows out of that relationship between us and our Father. God is referred to as Father only 15 times in the Old Testament, mostly in references to his nature and in national connotations with Israel, and only one person referred to him as Father in the Old Testament. And yet when Jesus came, his primary revelation of God was as our Father. That's what infuriated the religious leaders so much, was because Jesus called God his Father, and beyond that, he intended to make everyone else who would believe in him the same. God's children. Sons and daughters who would call God Father. Jesus was so intent on doing it in one context or another through the four Gospels. Jesus refers to God as Father over 165 times. The Apostle Paul, in his writing, refers to our relationship with God as our Father over 40 times. Many of the other gospel writers and writers in the New Testament do the same, because it's clearly what the gospel is about. God lacked nothing. In the Trinity, before anything else existed, they were completely whole. Self-sufficient, self-contained, you might say, completely happy. But in their love, their desire was to extend their family, to be more, to love, you might say. So they chose to create, knowing the cost it would be to them. But they deemed that cost worthy to gain the family, to make you and I sons and daughters of God. Pastor Tim Keller, who actually is in heaven now, he passed away this past year, and he did a lot of teaching and writing, besides pastoring a very large church. He helps us understand how wonderful it is to have God as our Father. The only person, he says in quotes, who dares wake up a king at 3 in the morning, 3 a.m., for a glass of water, is his child. We have that kind of access to God through Jesus Christ. That's what God does. That's who God is. That's what he's about. That was his intention from the get-go. This song's been in my heart the last several days and on my mind, and I want to use it here in this message. I'm not going to sing it because I don't sing as good as I, but I'm going to read it to you. You'll be familiar with it. When he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists. Our God is an awesome God. And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked them out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. And when the sky was starless in the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that you have not forgotten, that you have not too quickly forgotten, that our God is an awesome God. And the reason that I share that song and why I wanted us to think about that is that this God, this awesome God, as Jesus said, is not only our God but our Father. Some of us had very good dads. Some of us did not. None of us had a perfect father. They were all sinners. They may have meant well indeed, but they could not help but at times to fail. They all had failings, as do all of us as parents. But as this genealogy shows us, through Jesus Christ, we all have the one and only perfect, almighty, sovereign, creator, God, and King as our Father. Jesus, in this genealogy, Luke takes us through, goes all the way through these group of people mentioned, all these fathers. But it ends up at God. And that's what we have our hope in. This awesome God, as Rich Mullins said in his song, is not only our God, but our Father. And like I was saying in the communion, there's something miraculous that started when we were born again. And we become of And that of is growing through every moment of our lives thereafter. And like John tells us in 1 John, we don't know what he's going to look like yet, but we know when we see him. We will know because we'll be like him. Romans 8:15 through the first part of 17 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba," or we would say, Daddy, Father. The Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I am thankful for my dad, for Vicky's dad. And yet on this Father's Day, we honor dads and remember. Some we remember because they're no longer with us. But we honor our Father in heaven who has made us his family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. To me, that's a happy Father's Day. Amen.